Anyway, I'm Charlie Blackmore, for any of you that didn't already know that. And the program tonight is Bill instructed me at my first attendance here. And I guess that was kind of like the initiation. You get picked to do a program when you show up. So that's me. And my forte would be Cupies. I've been dealing with Cupies since I started my webpage over 24 years ago. This is my 25th year of owning and hosting and maintaining all by myself the website Cupie.net. And if any of you are Cupies and haven't seen the webpage and have access to a computer or a phone connected to the internet, I suggest that you take a look at it, because most of those that have found something of value to them there. It does contain, sadly enough, memorial pages of obituaries that go back to January of 1999 for people that went to Hickman, which is called the Cupie Memorial Page. And then there is a Cupie Family Memorial Page that also goes back to the same time frame. And it includes any immediate family descendants that are connected, that I can connect through my database to people that went to Hickman High School. And the way that I incorporate that is I go to the Tribune, which I made arrangements with them to use their obituaries back when I started the webpage. So I use the Tribune obituaries exclusively and occasionally check the Missourian. And then I get a lot of obituaries that come to me from emails or phone calls of people that went to Hickman that know about my webpage that have family members that they want posted on the memorial page. So that's how that all comes about. And the other thing that is used pretty heavily, or at least to some extent, is back almost, I would say about 15 years ago or longer, I started scanning all the yearbooks and decided that I wanted to have a collection of all the Crescents, the yearbooks from Hickman High School that went back to 1912. So I started doing that, and I now have a collection of all the Crescents, all 111 of them. And there, I have found, and even recently I've found more, there's more discrepancies to things that are quoted by Hickman High School or by Columbia Public Schools. Just this Friday, I was asked, I don't know if any of you have heard, and I can't pinpoint where it goes back to, but Columbia Public Schools is ready to celebrate its 150th year. And I cannot pinpoint where, as I said, where that goes back to, and I don't know that they can. Because if you read through any of the commencement programs that start telling you the history of Columbia Public Schools, it doesn't go back much further than 1890s, maybe into the 80s. But so I don't know where the 150th year ends or started or ends. And the other thing that I'm concerned about now is, well, let me back up. When I first started looking at the yearbooks, I guess I would say that's how I started my webpage, was with basically the first yearbook was 1912. And I always wondered when I graduated myself and when my kids graduated, there was always a number on the commencement program that this is the such and such commencement exercise for Hickman High School or Columbia Public Schools or whatever. So I wondered where that went back to. So when I got that first Crescent from 1912, that was definitely not the first year of Columbia High School. But in that first Crescent, there was a list of alumni from Columbia High School, went back to 1897. And if you count from 1897, that's about where we ought to be with the commencement programs. Now we're looking at how many years has Hickman High School been there? Well, their first class to graduate was 1928. So when I started adding the Crescents to my webpage, I got to 1950, I think it was 50, and that was counted as the 40th yearbook. Anyway, they got off one. So when they had the 100th Crescent for the 100th celebration of Anna, or the centennial for Hickman High School, they were off 1 year, and the 99th book was the one they called the 100th, and then was the 100th, and then the next year they had the 100th anniversary yearbook. And finally, I convinced them at Hickman High School that they had counted wrong. Everybody I talked to said, well, there wasn't a yearbook during 1 year during the war. And I said, there was, because I have one for every year from 1912 up into the 90s at that time. They finally corrected it about 10 years ago. So now there are 111 yearbooks, and they're all on my webpage. But if you look at the edition numbers back in the 50s up to like into the 2000s, they're one off as far as, and I don't know how that happened. But the thing that concerns me the most now, and I just discovered this today when I was looking through some things about I wanted to talk about, and the commencement program for the class of 2022 is the most recent one that I posted on my webpage. Each year, a new class graduates. I create a page for that class that contains the senior pictures of the graduating class, their commencement program, and then a musical collage of all the number one songs from freshman through their senior year. And when I pulled up that commencement program, it said that this is the 93rd graduating class from Hickman High School. Okay. The first class to graduate was in 1928. So if we count from there to forward to get to 100 years, it's not going to be the class of 28. It'll be the class of 27 will be the 100th class. And they're saying that the class that graduated this year is the 93rd class. So that means it's 7 years till we hit 100, which is not true. It's 5 years. So that's my next thing that I need to get straightened out at the high school. Finally got the Crescents right, and now they're off on that. And plus, I need to get this thing confirmed with CPS. Anyway, I interviewed them with them Friday. They wanted me to do an interview about, because they've used my webpage, a young lady named Aurora Myers is a communications director there. And she said, I've used your webpage a lot doing the processing of this stuff for the 150th year celebration. So I went out and did a 40-minute interview, and she wants me to come back and do a couple more. So anyway, back to today and my webpage. I started the webpage in October of 1998. And a good, very brief description of how it started and so forth can be told by Bob Martin on my webpage. He did an interview with me several years ago, and that was posted by him through a reporter that was a friend of his at the Tribune. Great story. Better than any of the so-called reporters have done, was done by Bob. I didn't know he was a news reporter. Another talent he had I wasn't aware of. And through my webpage is how I've acquired my friendship with Bob Martin and his wife, Nancy, and Russ Sloan, one of his good friends. So in 98, I had just started work prior to that on my class reunion, my 35th. And I became engaged to a lady I was dating at that time. And she would come over to my apartment in the evenings, and I'd be in my bedroom on the computer, and she'd be in the living room. And she got tired of putting up with that. So she came into the bedroom and said, what are you doing? You're never in the living room in the evening when I'm here. And I said, told her, well, I'm trying to contact all these people in my class to get this reunion together. And we didn't have email and text back then, so you had a huge phone bill if you didn't have, you know, certain things on the long distance. So I was on the phone, and she finally said, got a little fed up and says, why don't you just see if you can't find every person that went to that high school? And that thought stuck in my mind. So after I got the reunion over with, I started kicking around the idea of a web page. And I had studied HTML, which is the language you use to write a web page, and created a web page for the Columbia Post Office, which got me a maximum cash award for a suggestion, but not implemented because they couldn't afford to do it for all the post offices. So we were the only post office in the country that had its own web page, and it was there as well as all the menus, which were my voice for the Columbia Post Office for 8 years after I retired. You can still see it. I've got it in my archives on my web page. But anyway, that's when I started building the web page for Hickman High School. And I created a database, which to date consists of 40,918 people in the database. And that goes back inclusive of those alumni prior to 1912 that were in the 1912 Crescent from 1897 forward. And then it contains all of the people that's names were on commencement programs from 1912 through 2022. The way I get them now is I buy a Crescent every year. They actually, 3 years ago, I don't have to pay the $65 a year to buy a Crescent anymore. I did that from 98 up to about 2018 or 19. But they now give me a Crescent plus a commencement program and a Word document of all the graduates, which I convert to Excel and then convert that to FileMaker Pro and put it in and include it in my database, which is now 40,918. And when I started the web page, I had a place on my web page where you could actually type in and submit a form with your contact information. And once that came to me, I manually entered that into the database. Because my web page is old school, because I'm old school, and it's all done by me, so it's all done manually. There's not any automation to it. And so the people that registered on my web page that I physically put into my database, I actually quit counting when it approached 6,000 registration. And I still have the FileMaker Pro database on my iPhone that consists of the 40,918 and all of the information that's been submitted. So I still have in excess of 4,000 email addresses of people that went to Hickman, but I don't send emails to all of them anymore because the scholarships that I started later have basically become dormant. No one donates money to them anymore, which is another point. Those two scholarships that came about, one exclusively, the QB.net webpage, has a value now of about $79,000 and is endowed with two $1,500 scholarships from now on, and that's been going on for about 10 years. And then the other scholarship that my class insisted be called, exclusively called Charlie Blackmore's Class of 63 Scholarship, has a value of about $29,000, and it endows two $500 scholarships annually. And so back to when I started the webpage, how did I get all those names? Well, I started contacting people that I knew from other classes and said, who's your reunion chairman? So I'd find out who a reunion chairman was, and then it just became a network. I'd say, well, who do you know from another class? And it just went on and on. So I was basically getting lists of classmates from all the reunion chairmen from all the different classes. And ultimately, the school board finally, at some point, I don't remember exactly when, gave me copies of the lists from the commencement programs. And I basically have commencement programs from almost all the classes now. So when the school has someone contact them that they want to know about locating somebody, they don't have any place to look it up. So they just tell them to call me, or else they call me from the high school because I have the database that they don't have and they won't have. I mean, I would give it to them if they insisted, but that brings about another question. My wife went to a luncheon last week, and my wife is almost my age, but some of the ladies that were at the luncheon were in their 90s. And there was one lady there that my wife had not met, and she said, oh, you're Karen Blackmore? And she said, yeah. I said, do you know Charlie Blackmore? Well, yes, that's my husband. She said, well, he's the one that has that webpage. Who's going to do that when he's gone? side of it. And this is a woman that's in her 90s that got two girls that graduated from Hickman High School that used my webpage. And people ask me that, but who's going to take that? Anybody here wants to step up that's at least 10 or 20 years younger than me? I don't know. It'll stay there as long as I can afford to pay for it in advance after I die. And if I really had somebody interested in taking it over now at the level that I maintain it, I would probably find some money in my trust to put out there to help somebody do that. But at this point, that hasn't happened. Anyway, back to the each year now when a class graduates, Sharon Dothage, who's the secretary to the principal at Hickman High School, who started her job about the same time I started my webpage, she provides me the list, and as I said, then I add that to the database. So that's how that all comes about. As far as the webpage itself, if you haven't seen it, there are things that have been on the webpage for so long I don't even remember myself. But it's very deep, it's very thorough, very extensive. Once you go there and start looking through stuff, if you're interested in CUPE stuff, you're going to find most anything about Hickman High School there. All of the yearbooks are scanned and are linked to the webpage. You can look through page by page of every one of the yearbooks on my Zenfolio page. I now try to do them all digitally by getting the PDFs from the school that they send into the yearbook companies, and then by using Adobe, which is the company that makes Photoshop and all that, I use a program called InDesign that the computer teacher at Battle helped me understand, and so I can take those JPEG or those PDFs and convert them to JPEGs and put them on the web page as one solid open book image without a seam down the middle where your scanner won't copy without that showing you that seam. And so that's how those are done. I can't get Hickman to cooperate with me on giving me the PDFs, but believe it or not, I also do the yearbooks for Battle, so I've got 8 years of all digital images Battle's yearbooks because my granddaughter was in the first class to graduate from Battle and Homecoming Queen, so I got to know some of the people at Battle, so I do theirs. Plus, I have made an attempt and got a half a dozen or so yearbooks scanned and on the web page for Douglas High School. But the yearbooks are all out there, but they're hard to get, hard to find. So basically, that's just my web page and how it came about in a nutshell. And beyond that, I don't want to bore you with stories from high school because, hell, everybody that went to high school has got stories. I don't have the market cornered on that. So I would be happy to share anything else that you'd like to inquire about or answer any questions you might have about the webpage or about the history of Hickman High School.
Is that school the original? In other words, one there now, facing business loop. Has that been there? Did they have a fire or something that
no,
they had to rebuild
no.
that?
Hickman High School is Hickman High School. It was built on that property. I don't know exactly when construction began, but at the time that Hickman High School was under construction, the Missouri Theater downtown and the Tiger, I believe it was the Tiger Hotel and the Missouri Methodist Church. There were three or four buildings in Columbia that were all under construction during the mid-20s.
Missouri Theater, Tiger Hotel, was all being done.
Okay, they were done at the same time Hickman was born.
I thought it was 1925.
That's probably true because the first class to start at Hickman High School was 27. They graduated in 28. And something else I learned about that, we were, if not the only, at least one of the few high schools in the country that was a three-year high school. We didn't have a freshman class at high school. We were a city of, unlike most of you that came from somewhere else, we had junior high school instead of middle school. And so junior high school consisted of 7th, 8th, and 9th grade. So you were freshmen. When you were a freshman, you were at the top of the school, you know. And then all of a sudden, you're back on the bottom again as a sophomore at the high school. And the first time that really dawned on me what that was all about was I started my DJ business in 1977. And I sent out letters to all the schools around Columbia for up to 100 miles, letting them know I was going to start DJing. And I had all the information because I'd been a PTA president at Fairview Elementary. And I sent out these letters, and I started a almost 20-year relationship with a guy named Glenn Wheeler that was a principal of a middle school in Mexico, Missouri, and did all their school parties for 15-plus years. First time I went over there, these kids were like, I thought, my God, these kids are little for junior high school. And then I realized, hell, there's not any ninth graders here. It's 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th grade, you know? And then I thought, dang, well, all of a sudden, when battle came along, we now have a 4-year high school. So we have a freshman class in it. But that was pretty unusual. But anyway, the school was built in 1928, or was graduated the first class in 28. What I learned from a person that contacted me after I started my webpage, I got a call from a lady that lived in Washington, Missouri, named Jenny Minch. And Jenny Minch was Jenny, just a minute, it's on the tip of my tongue. She was Etta Mae Benedict's sister. I lost their name skipped me for a minute. Anyway, she was a sister to Etta Mae Benedict. Etta Mae Benedict was in the 28th class of Hickman High School, and her and her husband started Central Brakes Company in Columbia. Had a son in Mike's class, Jerry Benedict, and another brother that had a brother that was older, graduated from U High. Anyway, this was Etta Mae's Graves was her maiden name. And this lady named Jenny Graves contacted me and said, my sister told me that you have a web page and your name is Blackmore. Do you know or are you related to a Benson Blackmore? Son of a gun. Taylor Benson Blackmore, my father, Ben Blackmore. I said, I am. And she said, that's my dad. She said, well, your dad and I dated for 5 years. Really? Well, I knew my dad had a girlfriend before he met my mother. But during the Depression, my dad, who was around 20 years old, moved to Columbia and lived with his aunt and uncle and worked at a gas station at the corner of now Range Line and Old Business Loop 40. There were gas stations on all four corners, and all the traffic coming north and south and east and west came right through there. And it turned out two men that worked with my dad at that gas station, one of them was a father of two guys I went to high school with, and the other one was a man that worked at Barth Clothing Company, where my classmates' dad and grandfather owned that place. Well, during the time my dad worked at that gas station, he started dating this lady that lived on Range Line named Jenny Graves. And she says, yeah, your dad and I dated for 5 years, but he didn't want to get married. So I moved to Washington, Missouri, and met this doctor, Dr. Minch, who's gone now, and we got married. And she said, then your dad started dating your mother, and they got married, and said, they moved to Union, Missouri, and said, Union, Missouri, if you know geographically, is not too far from Washington, Missouri. And she said, you know, she said, your dad and I just loved roller skate, and said, we had this big roller skating rink up to Washington, and he used to come up here a lot, and we'd go skating until your mom and my husband put a stop to that. Oh, okay. So I visited her house one time in Washington and saw her several times after that before she died. First time I went to her house, she said, I have something that I'd like for you to have. And I said, okay, come here. So I follow her into her bedroom, and on her dresser is what's called a dresser set that ladies had back in that day. It consists of a brush and a comb, a mirror, and a powder dish. And she says, I want you to have that. Your dad gave that to me when we were dating. And I said, you've had this sitting on your dresser for 60-some years and you want me to take it? I said, no, I'm not doing it. I said, that has to have some pretty serious value to you if you've had it that long. Well, the powdered dish is in our china cabinet at our house, and the rest of it was supposed to be mine when Jenny died. That didn't happen. I never heard from her family after that. So that's one of the, interesting episodes that occurred from my webpage, as well as a few others. But anybody else have a question about? Oh, I know what else I was getting ready to tell about Jenny. Jenny graduated from Hickman High School in 1931, but she wasn't 3 years younger than her sister. But when they started Hickman High School in 1927, they had a way off balance between class size. So some of the kids were asked if they would like to take a grade over, more or less. And she said, and I volunteered because a lot of the football players were going to do that. So she actually would have been a 30 cupie, but she stayed back and did another ninth grade year instead of going to Hickman as a sophomore. And her sister graduated in the first class. Her sister, Etta Mae Graves, claims, it's told me, said, I was the first girl at Hickman High School to get a diploma because I was up on the stage to get another award and they gave me my diploma. So I was the first one to get a diploma. And your classmate, Jerry Benedict, I was trying to get hold of his mother one time and I couldn't get hold of him. And so finally I called Jerry and Jerry, oh, she's out of town. I said, Jerry, you need to let me know because I helped your mother with her computer. And I said, I was worried about her because I couldn't reach her. And Etta Mae said, don't be ringing the doorbell when you come over here. She said, I have to get up and answer. You just, here's my garage door combination. You just open the door and knock and come on in. And so I had to tell Jerry, I said, yeah, I can get in your mom's house anytime I want to, Jerry. Any questions? Yeah.
Do you know who the oldest person still a cupie still living? What grade?
The oldest cupie still living.
Yeah, still living or close?
No, I don't. There, I know that we just lost one within the last couple of years. It was Jane Cunningham's mother, who was Dell, that lived right out here. She lived to be almost 102, I think. And back, the oldest cupie I know personally was Mark Holsinger, was in my class. He had a brother that was older. He had two sisters that were older and one brother just 2 years older that we went to high school with, who I'm friends with and still see fairly often.
There, Charlie, you know us.
What?
We're over you.
No. I'm saying the oldest person that I know, okay, was Dorothy Holsinger. Dorothy Holsinger was Dorothy Sappington, A.D. Sappington's sister, and she was in the class of 22 from Columbia High School. Because when she had her 100th birthday party, I put together a collage of music to play at the thing, and my wife says, what in the hell are you going to do with music that old? There's nobody alive that wants to that would even remember. So I've got music that goes back to the early 1900s. And when Mrs. Holsinger died, she was 102. And I had told Mark and Dave at their 100th birthday party, I said, now, I would be honored to do a slideshow for your mother, for you all to have for her funeral, because I do a lot of those. And they didn't want to do that. So unfortunately, what happened was Dave and his wife Mary Ann's son-in-law got cancer, died in Texas, and Mary Ann went down and stayed with her daughter during the time he was ill before he passed away. And when they had the funeral, they came home and they said, called me and said, Charlie, said, could you still make a slideshow? Because the funeral home had made one they saw at the service. So I got to make one. And finally I had to tell Dave, I said, Dave, I've made this damn slideshow over too many times. You can't add another cousin. I'm done with it. It's finalized. Because I think I redid that thing 8 or 10 times. Because every time I'd get it through and get it finalized and send him a copy to look at, he's, oh, I forgot so-and-so. He'd send me another picture.
Was David Warner, was he?
Who?
Was David Warner that just passed away, was he a newbie?
Dave
Warner, yeah.
Who I don't know.
He wasn't. I don't know the name.
Well, like I said, Dorothy was the oldest living QP I knew until she died. And she's the oldest QP that I physically knew. Now, when I first started DJing in the 70s, I did some reunions for classes from the, I think I did one class for the class of 38 or 39, and then I did some for the early 40s. The oldest class, or the class to have the reunion of the longest tenure after high school, was when my class of 63 had our 50th reunion in 2003. The class of 43 had a 70th reunion. And I was part of their reunion. I went because after I started DJing years later and had done DJ jobs for lots of reunions, I told classes, I said, you have a 50th reunion, you want to hire me, I'll be glad to come. If you have a reunion after your 50th, you call me, I'll come for free. So I did. And at the 43rd class, or the class of 43's 70th reunion, they had an event out to D. Rose, a dinner, and then they got together at Cafe Court Saturday morning for a breakfast, and which I attended both and played music and so forth. And what was so funny, the class of 43 had a Mrs. Jacobs, who was Betty Allfrank, was the original chairperson for that class, and she passed away. And a guy took over named Joe Forsey, who you may still... This man that was here may know him because they're about the same age. He's 98 this year, or he'll be 98 next year. He's 97 because he's 20 years older than that.
Joe
Forsey.
He lives in Ashland.
He lives at Ashland.
Yes,
he does. And he was in the newspaper business as before he retired. And I haven't seen one from him, so apparently he's discontinued it. But up until, I would say, sometime during the early part of this year or late last year, he was still doing a newsletter. And I'm telling you, it was great. Color pictures. I mean, you could tell the man was in the newspaper business. So we're out to D. Rose, and I've got all the class that's there. There was 30-some people, including the people that brought the people to the reunion. They called themselves the Enablers. So there were 30 of them outside on the little slope there by D. Rose, and I'm getting a class picture of them. And Joe Forsey says, oh, Ed, any of you ever know Ed Gibbs? Ed Gibbs, I carried his mail for about 15 years. Ed and his father, Ned, who lived in the next house, his mother still lived there, so I carried him and his mom's mail for years. Well, Ed's wife had died, and he'd remarried a lady named Edie Chevins. And so Edie was at that reunion in Ed's place because he was sick and couldn't come. So we're outside taking the picture, and Joe says, now leave a place there for Ed so I can Photoshop him in later. And that he was, 78 years old then, and he's doing Photoshop. unusual to say the least. Anyway. That's the oldest class reunion, the 70s reunion that's ever been organized, to my knowledge, or anybody that I've ever run across. There's been 60 and 65th reunions, but no one's lasted to have a 70th yet, except that one class.
And I might have told you this, but my favorite QP story for me was when I was going through basic training down at Fort Leonard Wood. One night, a few nights we weren't training on something. You're just sitting around the barracks and started talking about high school mascots. And course, you had eagles, bears, lions, and all that stuff. What the hell is a cupid? Hard to explain, a little naked baby.
Well, I can tell you a story about the cupid, too. As far as I know, it was, I'm not positive of what year it was, but the T. Cody family had a history of being athletes at Hickman High School, and the youngest that attended their last, Blake T. Cody, played baseball and football. He was an outstanding quarterback and got hurt in their first game of his senior year and had to sit out the rest of the season, and the backup quarterback stepped up and they won state championship. But Blake laid out of playing football because he wanted to be healed by baseball season when the scouts came so he could get a job playing professional baseball, which he did do. But during that time, they were going through a thing at Hickman High School where this was before this happened of him getting hurt and all, but they put a thing up over the locker rooms called the dog pound. And there was all this crap going around about they were going to change the name. They didn't like being called a bunch of cupies, you know, a bunch of naked babies and stuff. So I got hold of Blake. Blake, coincidentally, his mother and dad had lived at 2015 Rose Drive, which I had delivered mail to for 15 years. And Pete McBain, their in-laws, had lived in that house before Blake and Cheryl moved in. So I was there when little Blake was born and knew them pretty well through the years. So I got with Blake and I said, Blake, let me tell you something. I said, what the hell is it that embarrasses you all about being called cupies? He said, well, he said, yeah. I said, here, let me tell you a story. I said, you know, everybody that ever played football on Friday knows in high school football it's on Friday night. Everybody knows. Hell, they got a TV show, they got a movie, Friday Night Lights, about high school football on Friday nights. And I said, even if you're like me, if you were a wuss and didn't play high school football, you went to the damn games, you know. I did because I could haul a bunch of cheerleaders in my car to the out-of-town game. But I said, we went, and we knew Friday night was Friday night football. And I said, when you go out there and on that field, and I said, are you embarrassed? You're embarrassed by being a bunch of naked babies and having to play the Tigers and the Lions and the Pirates and the Giants? I said, and you feel humiliated? I said, how humiliated do those Tigers and Giants and Pirates and all feel when they got their ass kicked on the field by a bunch of naked babies? I said, think about that. And I'm sure that story had nothing to do with it. But they followed that by a state championship football and baseball team the same year. So I think, maybe, just maybe a little bit, that might have had some impact.
I mean, that's how you take care of it. They heard me tell the story. We were playing Mexico, and I'm the quarterback, and we don't have a lot of trash talking back then. We just play. And this guy got up in front of me and said, what is a yellow belly expletive? No, I'm not, that's for your privilege. Cupid. And I ran a play, and I got back into the tunnel. I said, did you guys hear what that was? I had Woodbury was the center, and Roger Gaffney was one guard, and Jack Malone was the other guard. And I said, well, let's just show him what Cupid. So I called the quarterback's knee. And Whip hit him high, and Jack hit him low, and Roger jumped on because he was sophomore and didn't know better. And I went down and got tackled, came back. He's still laying on the ground. And I picked football, and I just dropped him right in the stomach. I said, that's what you do. And that's how you shut him up. Let me make him proud of that. Just take care of it.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of pride that goes along with it. I've learned that lesson, and back to the beginning of time, and that goes back to 1914. The actual story that was told when I started my webpage, I never really gave merit to it because there was never anything said about who said it, where it happened, what time it was. Did it happen in 1915, 1920? Where did this happen? But the story was about a sports announcer making a comment that Even though the Cupies were badly beaten, they came off the field smiling like a bunch of Cupies. And that's how the name became about. Well, I got a phone call or an email originally from a lady in Kansas City named Lucy Church. And Lucy Church graduated from high school in Kansas City area in the late, I think, 59. She was a few years older than me. And she said, I found your webpage. She said, I had a great uncle that played basketball at MU, and he went to Hickman, played basketball. And she said, I was searching the internet, doing some genealogy on him, and said, I ran across his name on your webpage. And she said, and the reason I wanted to let you know this is, she said, I went read further on your webpage and saw the story there about how the Cupie became the mascot at Hickman High School. And she said, well, I just wanted to make sure if there's any way I could get hold of you that I could correct that story before it's too late. And she said, my great uncle came to our house in Kansas City when I was in high school to a family reunion, and we were, at that time, Kansas City didn't play Columbia, but she said, we knew of Columbia Hickman High School, and we knew of the Cupie mascot, and we were teasing my uncle about being a Cupie and wanted to know how that all came about. So the story he told was what she told me, and I went to see her and met her and did a video interview, which is on my webpage, of her telling the story. But as Lucy told it, she said her uncle said that there was a lady that worked as a secretary at the high school, which was small back in 1913, when the basketball team of the class of 1914. And she said the secretary had a crush on the coach, and Cupie dolls, which were created in 1908, 1909, became collectibles immediately before the war. And she said that the secretary had a Cupie doll. And she took that Cupie doll to one of the first basketball games of the season and set it on the floor there at the basketball game. And that Cupie doll was still standing when that game was over, and the Cupies won that game. And from that day forward, the yearbook verifies it. There's the picture of the basketball team in the 1914 yearbook, and there's your uncle and nine players, and between his legs, he was the captain of the team, between his feet, right there is a little Cupie doll. It was her Cupie doll. And then there was a saying there with a scroll and a Cupie holding it about this book, yearbook, in memory of the Cupies, smiling Cupies. And that, from that day forward, they've always been called the Cupies in the yearbook. So that's the story.
What were they called before that? What was Columbia High called prior to that?
Yeah, I read that. Idea? Yeah, it was something pretty generic, like the Trojans or something. I don't remember. It's in print somewhere. I saw it one time, but I don't remember exactly. And I think I still can't describe exactly what happened in the building phase of how the building that's now Jeff Jr. or Jeff Middle School, that was the high school before that. There was another building somewhere in that vicinity before that was built, where high school first were held and classes were held in Columbia. But I think it was in that same block, maybe somewhere. But
south of Jeff Jr.
West. West of it, wouldn't it be?
No, I think it was south.
South of
those streets right there.
Really? There's houses been back there for.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I
would have thought it would have been on that property south where they got ball field and stuff down there now, between there and Providence and 4th Street. But I don't know.
Do you know of any other high school?
There's been research done on that, and there isn't really any other usage of the word Cupie anywhere, hardly at all, except for there's a hamburger place somewhere out in Ohio or somewhere, but it's spelled differently. And there's a mayonnaise company in Japan, and they have the website Cupie, spelled the same way, Cupie.com. And they contacted me years ago and wanted to buy Cupie.net, but it's not for sale.
I've been all over the country.
And there was a place somewhere one time where a Catholic girls' school or something in some other country had a QP for something, but never an official mascot of a high school anywhere or in existence now or past or present. So.
Now on Highway 65 between Springfield and Branson, there's a place called Bonnie's.
Yeah.
And it's the home of Rose O'Neill, who developed QPs.
Yeah.
And there's a museum there that's got QPs. It will work on any side of 7 feet.
I'm a member.
And
the president of that and I are close friends. I helped her put together slideshows and stuff for presentations that she does because she goes around to meetings and stuff. Yeah, Susan Scott, yeah. I went, and actually, in April every year, they have a QPista when they open up the museum and everything. I've been down there and done their program for them. Yeah. Yeah. Also, the Hickman High School group went down there the year before I did their program and did a program outdoors with some, you know, poems and singing and all that stuff and had shoes off wading in the creek and everything. Yeah, I got a video of that, too. Yes?
Is there any famous people that
graduated? I can name one right off, yeah. And at one time, Sam Walton was named as the richest man in the world. He no longer is, but presently, having been dead for many, many years, he's valued at $4.5 billion right now on the internet. And his brother, Bud, graduated in the class of 39 from Hickman High School. He graduated in 36. And my mother, after my dad died, dated a man that was a friend of Sam's in the same class at Hickman, and the largest donor to my scholarships, one of two largest donors, is a guy named Dale Belcher. He was in the class of 64. I just visited with him and had breakfast with him in Albuquerque a few weeks ago. And his dad, who, when I first went to work at the post office as a part-time flexible carrier, one of the first days work I had there as a carrier was carrying the route of parcel post delivery on the university campus for Dale's dad, Sam Belcher. It was not just the longest day of my career in the postal service, but it was one of the longest damn days of my life, I'm telling you. I thought I knew where places were at the university until I had that route that day. But anyway, I got to be friends with Sam and delivered his mail for a few years before he retired. And Sam told Dale that he said, "I want Charlie to have my yearbook when I'm gone." So that was the first chance I had at a 36 yearbook that had a nice picture of Sam Walton in it. So when I put that picture on my webpage, when I scanned that yearbook, I got a call from this lady that was publishing a children's book about the history of Walmart, wanted my permission to use that picture, and then she sent me two copies of the book. But I never met Sam.
He was the student body president.
His brother, Bud, is married, is buried out to Memorial Park Cemetery here in Columbia. But Sam's not, but Bud is. I have had a friend in Oklahoma who moved to Texas now, his house burned, but his name was Bud Lewis. His dad was a doctor in Columbia for many years, a pediatrician. And Bud was an avid bird hunter. Bud Walton was a bird hunter and lived in Oklahoma. So one day when Bud was bird hunting, he ran across this guy, and it was Bud Walton. And he bird hunted with Bud Walton, and Bud even called him again to go bird hunting. And I'm down there over spring break, went down there one year to play golf with Bud, the Bud I knew. And we're going to the grocery store to get some steaks for supper. And Bud's wife starts telling about him bird hunting with Bud Walton. And I said, "Really? You're kidding?" And she said, "No, he did." And she said, "You mean Bud didn't tell you about that? Hell, he's told everybody else he knows." I said, "Well, he didn't let me know."
You go to the museum in Hickman Hill, Arkansas, you you'll find Sam Alton's instructor, before he came up to the rescue, told him in white, and has a shotgun in the front seat, but the dog cages and stuff are all original stuff. And it's the original truck, they just put it inside the building. They got one out in front of it, but his original truck's inside. It's a neat place.
In New Year's Eve in 1964, I drove to Arkansas, to Bentonville, Arkansas, because I was dating a girl at MU from there, and I went down there to be with her for New Year's. And we were going to where the school was there, I can't think of the name, for a New Year's Eve party. And I didn't bring a cooler with me. So we went out to this, turned out it was like a little Walmart back then. It was Walton's store, one of the first ones he had there in Bentonville. I bought a beer cooler in 1964. Didn't know I was buying something from an old high school buddy from 1936. Anybody else have any question or anything they'd like to? Okay.
Well, Charlie, I didn't hear everything you said. Did you explain how in 1909 at Columbia High School, 17 points better than Princeton University, was considered the number one team, football team in the nation? I'll try to remember to bring that.
That was the Hickman High School?
Columbia High School.
Football team. No, I didn't.
Was 17 points better than Princeton University, which was undefeated in the number one team, college team in the nation.
Didn't know that.
What year was it? 1901.
I'll see if I can find that story. But it's true. It's true. All right, guys.
Good job.
Thank you.